from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
They're not giving up on putting Donald Trump in prison.
Nope.
While Jack Smith, the crooked federal prosecutor, who isn't actually a federal prosecutor, he was never appointed by the Senate.
Right.
So we should just call him some guy. Some guy who is the persecutor of Donald Trump is now asserting that he has the right to persecute Donald Trump under the guise of a prosecution, despite never having been appointed by the Senate as a special counsel. First ever, can't do it, no can do. That was why Eileen Cannon, among other reasons, the federal judge dismissed the case against Trump, the classified documents case. It was brought by Jack Smith, you can't do that. Jack Smith, we'll call him a special persecutor since he's not really a prosecutor. Special persecutor Jack Smith urged a federal appeals court on Monday to reinstate the classified documents case against Trump. The only reason you would do this, if Trump wins, Lee, he can just dismiss all of this against him. He can pardon himself. This is a federal case.
Yeah.
So that tells me you are going to try to get him in court and get a conviction before the election, or at least get him on trial before the election. Have him, because this was their dream. Remember, Trump was supposed to be sitting in Fulton County, Georgia courtroom on election day being tried criminally. That was the plan. That's when they literally had it scheduled to coincide with election day. But unfortunately, the prosecutor in Fulton County is so corrupt. She herself may be on trial by that point for defrauding the county. So hard to say. But that has Trump's gotten lucky there, and that's derailed that. So they really wanted him to be in court again, to have that good felonious look. So they are appealing the judge's dismissal of the case to an appeals court, which, can I translate that? I actually speak legalese, the way these people operate. They are liberal Democrat judge shopping at the appeals court level to find somebody crooked enough to reinstate this case. It'd be interesting to see if they could do it. I mean, they've got to be thinking they're at least going to get him in cuffs and in court by the election at a minimum. Because why else do this, right?
Yeah. And they never give up an opportunity.
No, they never do. And keep in mind, this classified documents case, he was already supposed to have been tried for this. It was originally supposed to start in March. And then Eileen Cannon said, no, we got problems here. And a lot of people don't know this. This is a massive scandal. Part of the she actually could have dismissed this case for evidence tampering. Because remember, the FBI got caught in an incredible admission. They told the court that the evidence was exact. The classified documents were exactly as they had found them. Remember the pictures of the documents on the floor?
Yeah.
Not true.
Right.
They tampered with the evidence. They moved evidence. They took evidence out of sequence, which is critical to proving whether or not Trump actually, you know, took these classified documents out of the White House. And they may have even added evidence. It's hard to say. Listen to what they did, okay? They lied to the court. They, you know how it looked like, oh, look at all these documents. They're just strewn all over the floor where Trump left them. No, that's where the FBI staged them for the photo op. which means they moved the evidence. They told the court they had not moved the evidence in writing under oath. Then they had to admit they lied in writing under oath. That's, for the rest of us, felony level perjury. I would not advise of your attorney trying that in South Carolina state court. You do it in North Carolina, you go to prison. You cannot perjure yourself before the court and you lose your law license. But it's just another day at the FBI. So they, Lee, falsified evidence and lied to the court about it. A double felony. So she's well within her right to dismiss this case. And she didn't even use that. She used the fact that Jack Smith had not been properly appointed. It's outrageous. So they're not giving up. They're back. We'll see how it goes.
Even though this is something that, quite honestly, the current resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue should be charged with as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, which the Department of Justice admits he's guilty of.
Yeah.
Joe Biden. And again, Joe Biden was vice president and a senator when he did it. So he did not have executive privilege of any kind.
No legal right whatsoever to have possession of those materials outside of the skiff.
No. And took him to his house. They're just sitting in his garage. And then the FBI doesn't care. In fact, remember the FBI warned Hunter and Joe that they were going to potentially be searching through some warehouses so they would have time to move the documents. There was a raid on Mar-a-Lago, but they did not raid the Biden residences. Instead, they asked them when they could visit to search for the documents. So that's justice in America. But I want to, speaking of justice in America, I want to get to this because the GOP is doing some really awesome stuff right now. I don't know if you saw Texas. Remember, the Democrats keep telling us that there are no illegal immigrants who vote. That's not a thing that happens.
Yeah, there is no election fraud.
No, none, except all those illegal immigrants who vote. How many in Texas? Thousands. Texas just purged 1.1 million voters off the rolls. They found 6,500 illegal immigrants registered to vote, and 2,000 of them had voted. That they've found so far. So Ken Paxton's office, he's Attorney General of Texas, is saying, we are going to prosecute every one of these cases. And he's warning, don't do it in this election. We're watching you. Don't do it. Don't even try to steal Texas. Don't even try. Don't think because you had hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants come through Texas shelters, register to vote as part of getting their IDs and then move on, that you can vote for them. Don't think that. We're watching. So them doing this is a huge demonstration of the days where you can just take voters who've moved and illegal immigrants who listed their addresses at the shelter because that's where they lived and just vote for them. Those days are over. Do not send thousands of absentee ballots to the illegal immigrant shelter. Fill them out and turn them in. Don't do it. We're watching. So that's hugely. Think about this. The potential for fraud is massive. 1.1 million voters on the Texas rolls that shouldn't have been there. Dead registrations. And this is the same problem that I've been screaming about for years in Georgia, that they haven't fully gotten a handle on. 6,500 non-citizens and illegal immigrants, again, 2,000 of whom had a voter history. That's really bad. But there's a lot of other problems here, too. Deceased people, 457,000 on the Texas rolls.
And we thought that only happened in Chicago.
I know. Voted on the voters who responded to an address confirmation notice that they had moved. In other words, they cannot legally vote in Texas. They don't live there anymore. Over 134,000. Those who've moved vote at very high rates in Georgia. Somehow. By the way, Georgia will.
Stacey Abrams about that.
Well, yeah, and she was encouraging, hey,
exactly,
if you moved out of Georgia, go ahead and vote illegally.
Right.
Sure wasn't worried about Brian Kemp stopping any of that. Weird, right?
Not at all.
No, even though he's allegedly a Republican, or so he tells us. So 19,000 voters who had requested to cancel their registration because they were no longer living in Texas or they had moved within Texas, creating two registrations, basically. They were still on the rolls, Lee. Nobody canceled it. So the governor's office teams up with the team and goes through and rips these people off the rolls. So it's going to be harder for Democrats to cheat this time. This is the same thing that happened in Virginia, where the Virginia governor, I mean, that state absolutely could come down to 6,000 votes. We have a Republican won there, but then Joe Biden won there by 9 points. They just found 6,000 illegals on their rolls. They purged a lot of other voters off, too. And it was so alarming to the governor. He just, you know, executive order, we're going to paper ballots. We cannot vote with this situation. We need traceable paper ballots with watermark.
So what you will be hearing now will be Democrats screaming voter suppression,
yeah,
that Republicans don't want your votes to count.
Right. And by that, they mean the ones that the Fulton County Board of Elections, you know, for Joe Biden, they ran the ballot through 2, 3, 4 times,
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Had to be censured for thousands of ballots run through more than once. You know, if people understood this, this is so remarkable. Fulton County was censured once the Republicans took over the Georgia Election Board, censured for those thousands of votes that were counted more than once because they were just double run through, triple run through. They don't even know how many thousands exactly they did that with. They say it didn't change the outcome of the election because it didn't go over 10,000. It didn't go over Trump's voter margin, but they don't know exactly how many, right? And here's the thing. How many other counties were doing this, Lee? Mm-hmm. That's just Fulton.
Yeah.
Now, what county is Trump being prosecuted in Georgia?
That would be Fulton County.
Fulton County. What is he being prosecuted for? Think about this. This is amazing. A phone call.
Mm-hmm.
What was a phone call about? Not certifying the election because of fraud. He's being criminally prosecuted for that. Let that sink in. Wait, he's being criminally prosecuted for the county that was censured for running ballots through more than once? Yes, that county. So in other words, he was right to make those phone calls. They're covering their voter fraud. That's why they're prosecuting him, or trying to. Thank God the prosecutor's so corrupt, it's delayed the case. Can you imagine the civil rights atrocity if Donald Trump had been put in prison in Georgia for questioning an election it turns out was corrupt by a county who the Board of Elections, the State Board of Elections, now that it's controlled by Republicans, Lee, they're set. It's like the UN. They're sending special monitors in just for Fulton, yeah, County to make sure they do not double and triple count the Democrat votes. Like That's
a,
where we are.
Like a third world country.
Yeah, but at least this time we have a shot. Now, the Democrats are asking Governor Kemp, who tells us he's a Republican, but it's hard to tell, to remove these Republican Board of Elections members so they can go back to cheating. And so far, Kemp is stalling. He's writing letters to his attorney general saying, hey, can I remove them? I don't know if he's going to or not, or if that's just a stall tactic or whatever. But that's where we are. So we will see. Keep your eye on Georgia. The Democrats' eyes are on Georgia because it's getting really hard to steal votes there.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We need Kamala Harris, the president of joy, to lead us.
Bill Clinton. He actually said that at the DNC. We need Kamala Harris, the president of joy. What is that? Nobody knows. Which is the idea. They don't want you to know a damn thing till after you cast your vote. And boy, then are you going to find out. By the way, Google search up Strength through joy. Click on the Wikipedia entry. See where the Democrats got that. Strength through joy. Turns out another pretty famous political party used it before them. It's going to blow your mind when you see who. Okay. Listener sent that to me yesterday on the text line. Thank you for that. Okay. So Donald Trump yesterday, it was the anniversary of Abbeygate. He spent it laying wreaths with the Gold Star families of the dead. One of the families who lost their daughter, God forbid, took photos with him, smiling. It's good that they're in a place of smiles at this point, that they can fondly recall their loved one who made the ultimate sacrifice. The left tore Trump up for using this brave soldier who died at Abbeygate. Are you freaking kidding me? Standing next to him in the photo was the Gold Star family, including her parents and siblings, who invited him there. That is how they grieve. And the left tore them apart for it, tore Trump apart for it, for this photo. What? Well, it's embarrassing. That's why. It's, you know, it's what they're really mad at. They're not mad at Trump. Can you imagine criticizing a Gold Star family of a person who should not be dead, but for the horrific decision that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden made about Afghanistan? And criticizing them? Folks, what does this come back to? What do I tell you all the time? If you die because of the left's horrific policies or judgment, what happens to you? You get canceled. You get canceled. Wait, I played you all the audio of the squad and CNN and MSNBC making fun of, mocking these women who've been raped and murdered by illegal immigrants. And the ridiculousness of acknowledging their existence. That's the penalty. When you embarrass the party by dying because of their judgment, you get canceled and your family gets sneered at. These people are disgusting. I hope they get defeated. Strength through joy. Well, Kamala Harris, you'll remember, president of joy. Right now, she's just royalty since she's never won a single vote at the national level. She's never been anything but rejected when she ran at the national level. So they're ramming her down our throat the way that royalty rams itself down the throat of the serfs. Bragged once that she was the last person in the room on Afghanistan.
President Biden always said that he wants you to be the last person in the room, particularly for big decisions, just as he was for President Obama. He just made a really big decision, Afghanistan.
Yes.
Were you the last person in the room?
Yes.
And you feel comfortable?
I do.
Yesterday, Fox News, parents of one of the Gold Star parents of one of the folks who died at Afghanistan at Abbeygate said they've never received a phone call or even a letter from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So yesterday, while Trump was laying the wreath, Joe Biden was on vacation again. On vacation again. It's almost as if he's not like really president. You know what I'm saying? It's almost as if he's quiet quitting. You ever had somebody quiet quit where you work? It's the weirdest thing. Joe Biden gone. Kamala Harris had nothing on her schedule while once again, Trump cleaned up the mess after saying this.
I will ask for the resignations of every single senior military official who touched the Afghanistan disaster. I want their resignations immediately. And I want them on the desk in the Oval Office, the Resolute desk. I want them on at 12 o'clock, Inauguration Day, everybody involved with that.
Now, remember how this went down, okay? All of their military advisors told Joe and Kamala, do not withdraw. The Taliban will take over. Joe withdrew anyway. She was involved in it. She thought it was a great idea. You just heard her there. And what happened? Fell to the Taliban. Then what did Joe do? He blamed his military advisors, said they gave him bad advice. No, they gave him good advice. He ignored it. And she thought the whole thing was tee-hee-hee-hee fabulous. I checked. And it's still the number one story in America right now by hits, clicks, and likes. It's what people are searching. It's what people are sharing. I love that. I love that. It's Mark Zuckerberg's letter. As close as he'll ever come to an apology for censoring us on behalf of the Biden administration, it turns out, to cover up their crimes. Most specifically, the crimes of bribery and money laundering that were documented on that laptop. He says he's sorry. He wishes he hadn't censored. He said he was pressured by the Biden-Harris campaign in 2020 to censor. He said he was pressured by the Biden-Harris administration to censor what turned out to be real things, true things about COVID. I would know. I did several turns in Facebook jail for things that ended up being accurate. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg said in a letter on Monday that the Biden-Harris administration repeatedly pressured his company. So, okay, let's stop there. Which includes, hold on, Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, WhatsApp, and more to censor content that is protected free speech. Okay. Do you see the problem here? I have a contingent of you guys who are like, well, you know, capitalism, he could censor whoever he wants. He could even censor me if he wants. And I don't even care if we never win an election again. Capitalism, boo-hoo. What is he saying? What I told you, they pressured him. And I believe him. You know why? He didn't do this before 2016. Wasn't unusual. I was getting between 100 and 200 new followers a day. Huge numbers on posts because I really worked it. And then 2 days before the 2016 election, they must have realized something was wrong. It stopped. I couldn't post anything. At first, I thought it was my computer. So I tried my one at home and that didn't work. And then I tried my laptop and that didn't work. I tried my husband's computer and that didn't work. I couldn't post anything. It wouldn't go. 2 days before the election, because we'd stumped hard for Trump on Facebook. My husband and I both posting at the time so we could keep going around the clock. So we did. We posted around the clock trying to get Trump over the line. And we couldn't post anything. And I said, for the heck of it, let's just find a cat video on YouTube. See if we could post that. Went right through. And then I knew. So this didn't start in 2020. I don't know who Zuck thinks he's kidding. It started in 2016. He's been the witch of the deep state for a while now. And I guess he doesn't want to do it anymore. He writes, in 2021, senior officials with the Biden administration, including the White House, repeatedly pressured our teams for months to censor certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire, and expressed a lot of frustration with our teams when we didn't agree. They did most of the time. Ultimately, it was our decision whether or not to take content down. We own our decisions, including COVID-19 related changes we made to our enforcement in the wake of the pressure. Okay, our side is missing the whole story here. Do you know what the real story is? Keep reading further down in the letter, y'all, when you cover this, especially on talk radio today, where Zuckerberg admits he fell for the Russia collusion hoax. This is the key paragraph. It has since, he's talking about censoring the Hunter Biden laptop. It's since been made clear that the reporting was not Russian disinformation. And in retrospect, we shouldn't have removed, he's saying, the New York Post story. It was fake. It was fake. Russia hoax fake. He said that he did not plan, this is him taking a swipe at Elon Musk for donating to Trump, which you can tell what's eating at him by this last paragraph. You know what's eating at him? People love Musk. He's a hero internationally. Elon Musk is essentially, in his spare time, not only taking on the role of defending and preserving what's left of the First Amendment, he's also the president in terms of diplomacy. He's conducting U.S. foreign policy and diplomacy in the place of Kamala and Joe. Literally pressuring world leaders from the leader of Venezuela, don't do it. We are watching. People can post. Your videos will go up. Do not hurt people, stop shooting them in the street. While Kamala Harris couldn't even bring herself in her Twitter announcement to concede that that election had been stolen because she's a crooked communist. And he trashed her for it, by the way, Elon Musk. He said in his letter, Zuckerberg did, that he does not plan on making any political contributions during this cycle after he gave money to support electoral infrastructure in 2020. So he's trying to say, he said, you know, last time that contributed in the letter to the perception that I was on one side and I'm not going to do it. Why? He's taking a swipe at Musk. The only way he has left. You know why? Mark Zuckerberg is completely irrelevant. He is. No, go read any political story. Pick one. I don't care. All right, pick two. Most political stories now will have a quote from something somebody said on X or an accusation somebody said on X and then what somebody's saying back. There's such a vibrancy of debate going on there that you almost can't write an article if you weren't going to mention X. It's almost impossible. Facebook's not part of that. Utterly irrelevant. When's the last time you read so-and-so said in a Facebook post and it caused their opponent to be mad? That it just didn't happen because the FBI is in there shutting everything down. Now, what's interesting is the FBI announced almost four months ago now that they'd gone back to censoring. He going to kick him out? He doesn't say. He doesn't say. But this is good news if he's serious, if this isn't just a PR stunt. Because the only chance that we have for the First Amendment to be not snuffed out, especially if Her Highness wins, if the President of Joy wins, the only hope that we have that they are not going to extradite the conservative punditry to Europe for trial, the only hope that we have that they're not going to put Musk in jail is if, because they've got a criminal case they're working on at the DOJ, is if they stand together. They've got to stand together. I'm telling you, the American people will not stand for it. But if they break, you know, if they're on their own, it's like a herd of gazelle. It's always the gazelle that breaks from the pack and the lions go right for it. The hyenas or whatever's hunting them. The pack sticks together, the pack gets away. They get to survive. You got to stick together or the light of the First Amendment's going to go out. And Facebook could be a part of this debate. He can be relevant again. He can stop persecuting his customers. And you know what? Zuckerberg's got a problem. The earnings report was not good. And here's his problem. His base is aging. And you got every year, the average age of a person on Facebook is older and older and older. What happens when you get older? You get more conservative. You can't censor everybody. Although he's tried. So this is good news. Good news. Some of you were wondering earlier, too. A texter said, hey, do you think this means he thinks Trump is going to win? I think it means he thinks Trump might win. Yeah. Yeah. And it's good news because if Zuckerberg's not going to censor, it will make them harder to make it harder for them to put Musk in prison. Because believe you me, Musk is going to prison if she wins. Texter writes in the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. Tara, for one, my personal point of view, if they send Elon Musk to prison for what's going on X, then it's time to take up arms. I'm done playing. I served 27 years in the Navy. I'm not too old to get back out there and do what I got to do. Well, it's good to see Zuckerberg at least seeming to say, you know what he didn't apologize for? His actual worst censorship was of anything having to do with absentee ballot fraud or the steal. Remember, he announced months before the election that anybody questioning the outcome of the election would be censored, including if they were just messaging, never mind posting. He didn't apologize for that. I don't know what that means, but it's noted. But we're glad that he allegedly, at least on paper, isn't going to censor for them anymore. He's not going to be their whore anymore. Now, when he says he was pressured, what might that have meant? Well, we have a pretty good idea. I played this for you yesterday because I thought it was so powerful. This is the CEO of Telegram, Pavel Durov. And he talks about how he's sitting there on a Saturday morning eating his breakfast. He'd rented a home in America because he's got a branch of Telegram here. When the FBI out of nowhere shows up on his doorstep like the damn Gestapo for a knock and chat. Can you imagine? Hello? Excuse me? Yeah, we're the FBI. I just want to talk to you. Can we come in? Did I do anything? You've allowed free speech. You are saying things of which we do not approve. Do you know there's a penalty for that? Here he is, the CEO of Telegram, telling Tucker Carlson about that weird Saturday morning visit. Guarantee you Zuckerberg had one of these. That would be scary for anybody.
One time I was having my breakfast at like 9 a.m. and the FBI showed up at my house that I was renting, and that was quite surprising.
Why would the had you committed a crime?
No, they were interested to learn more about Telegram. My understanding is that they wanted to establish a relationship to control Telegram better. I understand that they were doing their job.
No, that's not their job. Nope. No, 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 no. Censoring conservatives is not their job, Pavel. So we now know what happens when you say no to the FBI lie. Zuckerberg didn't. He's not in a prison cell, is he? He literally traffics in child porn on Instagram. Gives you an option on the screen. You can either click to see the child porn or you can click to get psychological services. But he's not in prison, is he? Pavel Durov is, though. Why? Because he told the FBI no. They have 1,000 ways to Sunday getting back to you, Chuck Schumer once said. So I can see why it would scare you a little. We'll see what Zuckerberg does now. It'd be nice if he'd stop trafficking in the kiddie porn, too. I mean, that'd be cool. But hey, you can't ask for everything. I checked, and it's still the number one story in America right now by hits, clicks, and likes. It's what people are searching. It's what people are sharing. I love that. I love that. It's Mark Zuckerberg's letter. As close as he'll ever come to an apology for censoring us on behalf of the Biden administration, it turns out, to cover up their crimes. Most specifically, the crimes of bribery and money laundering that were documented on that laptop. He says he's sorry. He wishes he hadn't censored. He said he was pressured by the Biden-Harris campaign in 2020 to censor. He said he was pressured by the Biden-Harris administration to censor what turned out to be real things, true things about COVID. I would know. I did several turns in Facebook jail for things that ended up being accurate. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg said in a letter on Monday that the Biden-Harris administration repeatedly pressured his company. So, okay, let's stop there. Which includes, hold on, Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, WhatsApp, and more to censor content that is protected free speech. Okay. Do you see the problem here? I have a contingent of you guys who are like, well, you know, capitalism, he could censor whoever he wants. He could even censor me if he wants. And I don't even care if we never win an election again. Capitalism, boo-hoo. What is he saying? What I told you, they pressured him. And I believe him. You know why? He didn't do this before 2016. Wasn't unusual. I was getting between 100 and 200 new followers a day. Huge numbers on posts because I really worked it. And then 2 days before the 2016 election, they must have realized something was wrong. It stopped. I couldn't post anything. At first, I thought it was my computer. So I tried my one at home and that didn't work. And then I tried my laptop and that didn't work. I tried my husband's computer and that didn't work. I couldn't post anything. It wouldn't go. 2 days before the election, because we'd stomped hard for Trump on Facebook. My husband and I both posting at the time so we could keep going around the clock. So we did. We posted around the clock trying to get Trump over the line. And we couldn't post anything. And I said, for the heck of it, let's just find a cat video on YouTube. See if we could post that. Went right through. And then I knew. So this didn't start in 2020. I don't know who Zuck thinks he's kidding. It started in 2016. He's been the witch of the deep state for a while now. And I guess he doesn't want to do it anymore. He writes, in 2021, senior officials with the Biden administration, including the White House, repeatedly pressured our teams for months to censor certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire, and expressed a lot of frustration with our teams when we didn't agree. They did most of the time. Ultimately, it was our decision whether or not to take content down. We own our decisions, including COVID-19 related changes we made to our enforcement in the wake of the pressure. Okay, our side is missing the whole story here. Do you know what the real story is? Keep reading further down in the letter, y'all, when you cover this, especially on talk radio today, where Zuckerberg admits he fell for the Russia collusion hoax. This is the key paragraph. It has since, he's talking about censoring the Hunter Biden laptop. It's since been made clear that the reporting was not Russian disinformation. And in retrospect, we shouldn't have removed, he's saying, the New York Post story. It was fake. It was fake. Russia hoax, fake. He said that he did not plan. This is him taking a swipe at Elon Musk for donating to Trump, which you can tell what's eating at him by this last paragraph. You know what's eating at him? People love Musk. He's a hero internationally. Elon Musk is essentially, in his spare time, not only taking on the role of defending and preserving what's left of the First Amendment, he's also the president in terms of diplomacy. He's conducting U.S. foreign policy and diplomacy in the place of Kamala and Joe. Literally pressuring world leaders from the leader of Venezuela, don't do it. We are watching. People can post. Your videos will go up. Do not hurt people. Stop shooting them in the street. While Kamala Harris couldn't even bring herself in her Twitter announcement to concede that that election had been stolen because she's a crooked communist. And he trashed her for it, by the way, Elon Musk. He said in his letter, Zuckerberg did, that he does not plan on making any political contributions during this cycle after he gave money to support electoral infrastructure in 2020. So he's trying to say, he said, you know, last time that contributed in the letter to the perception that I was on one side and I'm not going to do it. Why? He's taking a swipe at Musk. The only way he has left. You know why? Mark Zuckerberg is completely irrelevant. He is. No, go read any political story. Pick one. I don't care. All right, pick two. Most political stories now will have a quote from something somebody said on X or an accusation somebody said on X and then what somebody's saying back. There's such a vibrancy of debate going on there that you almost can't write an article if you weren't going to mention X. It's almost impossible. Facebook's not part of that. Utterly irrelevant. When's the last time you read so-and-so said in a Facebook post and it caused their opponent to be mad? That it just didn't happen because the FBI is in there shutting everything down. Now, what's interesting is the FBI announced almost four months ago now that they'd gone back to censoring. He going to kick him out? He doesn't say. He doesn't say. But this is good news if he's serious, if this isn't just a PR stunt. Because the only chance that we have for the First Amendment to be not snuffed out, especially if Her Highness wins, if the President of Joy wins, the only hope that we have that they are not going to extradite the conservative punditry to Europe for trial, the only hope that we have that they're not going to put Musk in jail is if, because they've got a criminal case they're working on at the DOJ, is if they stand together. They've got to stand together. I'm telling you, the American people will not stand for it. But if they break, you know, if they're on their own, it's like a herd of gazelle. It's always the gazelle that breaks from the pack and the lions go right for it. The hyenas or whatever's hunting them. The pack sticks together, the pack gets away. They get to survive. You got to stick together or the light of the First Amendment's going to go out. And Facebook could be a part of this debate. He can be relevant again. He can stop persecuting his customers. And you know what? Zuckerberg's got a problem. The earnings report was not good. And here's his problem. His base is aging. And you got every year the average age of a person on Facebook is older and older and older. What happens when you get older? You get more conservative. You can't censor everybody. Although he's tried. So this is good news. Good news. Some of you were wondering earlier, too. A texter said, hey, do you think this means he thinks Trump is going to win? I think it means he thinks Trump might win. Yeah. Yeah. And it's good news because if Zuckerberg's not going to censor, it will make them harder to make it harder for them to put Musk in prison. Because believe you me, Musk is going to prison if she wins. Texter writes in the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. Tara, for one, my personal point of view, if they send Elon Musk to prison for what's going on X, then it's time to take up arms. I'm done playing. I served 27 years in the Navy. I'm not too old to get back out there and do what I got to do. Well, it's good to see Zuckerberg at least seeming to say, you know what he didn't apologize for? His actual worst censorship was of anything having to do with absentee ballot fraud or the steal. Remember, he announced months before the election that anybody questioning the outcome of the election would be censored, including if they were just messaging never mind posting. He didn't apologize for that. I don't know what that means, but it's noted. But we're glad that he allegedly, at least on paper, isn't going to censor for them anymore. He's not going to be their whore anymore. Now, when he says he was pressured, what might that have meant? Well, we have a pretty good idea. I played this for you yesterday because I thought it was so powerful. This is the CEO of Telegram, Pavel Durov. And he talks about how he's sitting there on a Saturday morning eating his breakfast. He had rented a home in America because he's got a branch of Telegram here. When the FBI out of nowhere shows up on his doorstep like the damn Gestapo for a knock and chat. Can you imagine? Hello? Excuse me? Yeah, we're the FBI. I just want to talk to you. Can we come in? Did I do anything? You've allowed free speech. You are saying things of which we do not approve. Do you know there's a penalty for that? Here he is, the CEO of Telegram, telling Tucker Carlson about that weird Saturday morning visit. Guarantee you Zuckerberg had one of these. That would be scary for anybody.
One time I was having my breakfast at like 9 a.m. and the FBI showed up at my house that I was renting. And that was quite surprising.
Why would the had you committed a crime?
No. They were interested to learn more about Telegram. My understanding is that they wanted to establish a relationship to control Telegram better. I understand that they were doing their job.
No, that's not their job. Nope. No. Censoring conservatives is not their job, Pavel. So we now know what happens when you say no to the FBI. Zuckerberg didn't. He's not in a prison cell, is he? He literally traffics in child porn on Instagram. Gives you an option on the screen. You can either click to see the child porn or you can click to get psychological services. But he's not in prison, is he? Pavel Durov is, though. Why? Because he told the FBI no. They have 1,000 ways to Sunday getting back to you, Chuck Schumer once said. So I can see why it would scare you a little. We'll see what Zuckerberg does now. It'd be nice if he'd stop trafficking in the kiddie porn, too. I mean, that'd be cool. But hey, you can't ask for everything. Text your rights in the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. Tara, for one, my personal point of view, if they send Elon Musk to prison for what's going on X, then it's time to take up arms. I'm done playing. I served 27 years in the Navy. I'm not too old to get back out there and do what I got to do. Well, it's good to see Zuckerberg at least seeming to say, you know what he didn't apologize for? His actual worst censorship was of anything having to do with absentee ballot fraud or the steal. Remember, he announced months before the election that anybody questioning the outcome of the election would be censored, including if they were just messaging, never mind posting. He didn't apologize for that. I don't know what that means, but it's noted. But we're glad that he allegedly, at least on paper, isn't going to censor for them anymore. He's not going to be their whore anymore. Now, when he says he was pressured, what might that have meant? Well, we have a pretty good idea. I played this for you yesterday because I thought it was so powerful. This is the CEO of Telegram, Pavel Durov. And he talks about how he's sitting there on a Saturday morning eating his breakfast. He had rented a home in America because he's got a branch of Telegram here. When the FBI out of nowhere shows up on his doorstep like the damn Gestapo for a knock and chat. Can you imagine? Hello? Excuse me? Yeah, we're the FBI. I just want to talk to you. Can we come in? Did I do anything? You've allowed free speech. You are saying things of which we do not approve. Do you know there's a penalty for that? Here he is, the CEO of Telegram, telling Tucker Carlson about that weird Saturday morning visit. Guarantee you Zuckerberg had one of these. That would be scary for anybody.
One time I was having my breakfast at like 9 a.m. and the FBI showed up at my house that I was renting. And that was quite surprising.
Why would the FBI, had you committed a crime?
No, they were interested to learn more about Telegram. My understanding is that they wanted to establish a relationship to control Telegram better. I understand that they were doing their job.
No, that's not their job. Nope. No. Censoring conservatives is not their job, Pavel. So we now know what happens when you say no to the FBI. Zuckerberg didn't. He's not in a prison cell, is he? He literally traffics in child porn on Instagram. Gives you an option on the screen. You can either click to see the child porn or you can click to get psychological services. But he's not in prison, is he? Pavel Durov is, though. Why? Because he told the FBI no. They have 1,000 ways to Sunday getting back to you, Chuck Schumer once said. So I can see why it would scare you a little. We'll see what Zuckerberg does now. It'd be nice if he'd stop trafficking in the kiddie porn, too. I mean, that'd be cool. But hey, you can't ask for everything.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.